Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Good morning to everyone. Coming up in our final hour, we will chat with Sam Bruckhaus from Sumer Sports as we break down all things NFL. In 20 minutes, more from the league as we get you set for Thursday Night Football, the Broncos welcoming the Raiders tonight, and finally our best bets and the Dogster come your way at 8:40. Welcome to our audience on Stadium as we stream our final hour like we always do. If you'd like to get in on that, go ahead. Just download the Bally Sports Live app or go to ballysportslive.com. I'm Jinx. She's Chelsea, and let's get right into it. Sam Bruckhaus from Sumer Sports joining us now to talk National Football League. Sam, good morning to you, and we had our power rankings earlier in the National Football League, so let me ask you, who is your number one team in the NFL?
Look, you look at their record, and it may not show it, but when you look at the metrics that matter, you look at expected points added, you look at point differential, I think once again, unfortunately, this is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs year. They've had some strange games against the Bills, a tough schedule. But the reality is that their offense is back. Patrick Mahomes is back to the point in which he's taking a very low percentage of sacks. He's added the scramble game. The defense is still the Steve Spagnuolo defense that we know. And they have added a bit in which Andy Reid is going for it more aggressively on fourth downs. They have gone to another level than what they were last year. That has put them back in a place where they are solidly second in point differential in the National Football League. That typically predicts well to the end of the season. Unfortunately, for you know, the folks who want parity and the folks who want to shake up, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best team in the league right now.
Well, if you love numbers, I feel like the Indianapolis Colts have had great numbers this season. If you look at stats, if you look at points differential, but I think a lot of us still have that hesitancy to say, okay, this is a team that's going to be great in the regular season and the postseason. Because sometimes you need a team that has a little bit of postseason experience. And some people still look at Daniel Jones and they're like, that's not necessarily a quarterback I want to trust over Patrick Mahomes and over Josh Allen. So let me ask you, do you think the Colts are a team that could be contending this postseason?
Look, I am still holding out to review Daniel Jones. Currently at Sumer Sports, we grade every single play using AI. We do it quick, we do it fast, and we do it objectively, looking back at every single play going back to 2016, so every play in the NGS era. We currently have him as just a quality starter. He's not playing at the super high level that we're seeing some of these other quarterbacks play. And when we've discussed on the Sumer Sports Show with ex-quarterbacks and ex-general managers, what the hardest thing to do is, it is make that jump from the regular season to the postseason as a quarterback. There is no higher level of pressure. There is no tighter windows. And there is no point in the season in which the defense knows exactly what you're going to do then after those 18 weeks of the season. And then they can truly lock in. I'm a little worried given what I saw last week from Daniel Jones. We started to see some of the old turnovers playing outside in a colder environment against a experienced, if not overly powerful, Pittsburgh Steelers team. So I'm holding out hope a little bit. Here's the reason why you should believe in the Colts, however. Offensive line, defensive line. They win through the trenches. They've added Sauce Gardner as an additional piece, an all-pro cornerback previously, to join their other all-pro cornerback previously, Javarius Ward, once he comes back from injury. So they're building the bones of a great team. I just really worry about that quarterback position, and I worry, have they just really overperformed thus far?
See, outside of the Colts, which team is giving you pause that maybe is off to a hot start? Is it Indianapolis? Is it the Patriots? Is it maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think, maybe the Seahawks. Wait, is there a team that you don't quite buy into just yet?
I love watching the Seahawks.
I do too.
And we've talked about a lot of the things they've done on the Sooner Sports Show this year, primarily their deployment of heavy personnel in order to create efficiencies in the pass game. But I think the trade deadline indicates to me that they think they still have some weaknesses. They go out and get Rashid Shaheed. And I think the reason why they had to do that is because their schedule is going to get a little harder and their division is difficult. And I don't think they think they can win in true pass situations right now. They have one of the lowest pass rates over expected, meaning they are running the ball a lot in passing situations, and they are really, really inefficient in the run game. Now, we've seen Clint Kubiak do this before, and as it stands right now, they're seeing huge efficiencies in the pass game as a result. High average depth of target. They're able to get the ball to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But I just don't think it's sustainable for Jaxon Smith-Njigba to have like 15% greater target share than Puka Nacua and a yard and a half higher than literally everyone else in the National Football League. I think that's why they went to get Rashid Shaheed. I do trust in that defense a lot. I just expect some regression from the offense in what seems to be an extremely difficult division. The true canary in the coal mine is that when they play the Rams here in a couple weeks, the Rams are going to trot out nickel and dime personnel basically every play. In fact, they trotted out dime personnel against Kyle Juszczyk and Christian McCaffrey and Jake Tungus a couple weeks ago with the 49ers, and nobody had done that. And they saw some success, particularly in the second half. They're going to have to throw the ball in true pass rate situations, or they're going to have to run the ball against light boxes. They haven't shown the ability to do that just yet, so we're going to have to see if they can do that moving forward. I'd expect some regression from the offense. The defense is going to have to be the bellwether of the team moving forward.
All right, so you mentioned the Rams, and it was kind of surprising to me that over at BetMGM, the sportsbooks have the Rams with the shortest odds to win the NFC Championship. So clearly there is a lot of respect there. Do you think the Rams are the best team in the NFC?
You look at expected points added per play and expected points added allowed per play, and right now the Rams are so far in the far right, the graph starts looking a little bit weird. They've built their team around premium positions. They have Puka Nacua, who for the past 3 years, when healthy, has performed almost like a Hall of Famer at this point. And you have a borderline Hall of Famer playing quarterback and doing it at a very high level at the quarterback position. The run game right now is not explosive. However, they are achieving a high rate of success. That has been the reason why Kyren Williams got a extension this year. But the true addition to this team was last year, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. Now they've added pieces around him, Nate Landman, particularly at the linebacker position, who has been able to sustain those dime sets where he's the only linebacker. And they've just added a slew of safeties and DBs who haven't performed to an extremely high level, but they're a rotational group that plays strong together. And that is why they're so highly ranked right now, is because they are really and truly, at least in terms of the metrics, they're really the only complete team. Now, we mentioned the Seahawks. The Seahawks are also a complete team right now with a much bigger weakness than the Rams have at the quarterback position in particular. And then you look at the 49ers, who just continue to win games off of a bad schedule. When the lines came out early season, I couldn't believe that Vegas had the 49ers so high in the win total. That has basically played out. They have basically not played anyone of huge strength, and those teams that they have been some battles. So it's a difficult division. The Cardinals even have a positive win, a positive point differential at this point as well. And so we'll see if the Rams can make it out in a world where the Eagles and the Packers also exist. The true story of this NFL season is that the NFC is just an absolute bloodbath this year.
So, Sam, speaking of the NFC, I wanted to ask you about the Eagles. They're the favorites to win the NFC, and yet I cannot figure out who the Eagles are. I'm just like, who are you? And I don't know if they know who they are. Who do you think Philly is?
I think they've become an old school under center passing team. That's what Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, has started doing now that Saquon has had a couple injuries. They couldn't get it going at the beginning of the year, and they decide to put Jalen Hurts under center and start running some old school sets and, more innovatively, putting in six offensive linemen. This isn't the same offense that we've seen where they can just out-talent people, they can get into 11 and 12 personnel and run all over you, and if you're going to stop the run, they're going to throw it deep to A.J. Brown. This is not exactly that team. However, they've been able to do it a little bit innovatively. The dirty little secret of this team right now is that on defense, they've been very banged up, and as a result, they're not performing to that top-of-the-league standard that they set last year. And I think that's why they were so comfortable sending out a third-round pick for Jalen Phillips, who us at Sumer, the AI, looked at it. The AI scored him as one of the better defensive ends in the league in run defense this year. And more overall, we think that he should be in contention for a Pro Bowl spot. I think he's really going to be set up to shine by Vic Fangio. I actually expect them to I think they've actually underperformed as it pertains to their talent. They obviously have won a lot of games. I think they will continue to as the season moves on.
All right, so we have Thursday Night Football tonight between the Broncos and the Raiders. What are some of the takeaways you're going to be looking for in this game, whether it's the Broncos, who obviously probably have the higher ceiling when it comes to the postseason, or even the Raiders and maybe the trajectory of their team this year? What are you looking for tonight?
I mean, that Brock Bowers performance last week was absolutely incredible. Mm. And then he goes up and he's going to face an absolute ringer. Talanoa Hufanga is the best player at his position this season, bar none. He's been an absolute weapon for Vance Joseph in the Denver Broncos defense, which is one of the top in the league. And he has returned to the all-pro form that we saw him at in the 49ers game. He's going to blitz like he's a defensive end. He's going to play run defense like he's a linebacker. And most importantly, I think they are going to use him in some disguises to make the reads hard to get the ball to Brock Bowers. And so I think if early on we're seeing Brock Bowers get, you know, 3-4 targets, 5 targets in the first quarter, that's a sign that the Raiders may be able to get off the ball. They're not going to struggle with the pressure that the Broncos have brought, frankly, with 4 or 5 rushers, which last year they were a very blitz-heavy defense. They've been able to do it with fewer bodies this year. But that's the big matchup that I want to see. If they're able to pressure Geno and he's not able to get the ball up in the air to Brock Bowers and some of those wide receivers, I think this is going to be a Broncos blowout. Otherwise, if they are able to get the ball to him early, I think this is going to be a little tighter, and I'm particularly going to look on the other side of the ball at if Max Crosby can get pressure on Bo Nix. Say what you want about Bo Nix. He is a superstar at one thing, and that is not taking sacks. That is his calling card. That is why Sean Payton loves him. And so as a result, you got one of the best pass rushers on the other side of the ball. It's going to be a great one-on-one matchup between Garrett Bowles and Mike McGlinchey, two tackles who have performed extremely well over the past 2 years and led to the development of Bo Nix into an average NFL starter. If he's able to beat those guys and get to Bo Nix, I think that's an indication that it may be a tighter game than the line expects right now.
You can check him out covering Sumer Sports. His name is Sam Broadcast. Knowing everything and anything about the NFL. This is great analysis, Sam. Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much. I'm headed up to Memphis for Tulane Ooh. Memphis college football. So I'll keep y'all tuned in on a little college football as well.
Yeah, let us know. Ooh. I saw the ad for that last night. Should be a great game. Sam, we appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. I saw it last night. Getting me excited for college football. I love that he's using AI, too, for this analysis. That's what I need to get into. Mm. Instead, I just pull out the old scratch pad. Yeah, let me get the number 2 pencil here. How's Bo Nix looking? But that's super interesting.
I wonder how much teams are using this, because I would imagine there's some aspect to it. And I kind of know the ins and outs of like the baseball world, because obviously Jake played and I kind of have a window into that. But I know the Astros were one of the first teams that did this, where some of their front office guys worked for like NASA. And they were like one of the first teams that really looked into the numbers, and it was super numbers oriented. But I know, especially in the football world, there's a lot of like head coaches even that are like super against going on that side. But I feel like you can't stick your head in the sand that long, and you have to at least explore it.
Yes, you do. And, you know, I think there is such a thing as a feel for the game and momentum and things like that that can't be quantified. But at the same time, metrics are a real thing, and artificial intelligence is going to increasingly become part of our lives. And you have to take advantage of that in the NFL, in college football, and particularly in betting where it is about the numbers. So you don't want to use it exclusively because the eye test, I think, means something as well. We've talked about that, but certainly using it as a tool would be very smart, no matter whether you're an NFL team or just a casual bettor. Coming up next here on the show, been a bad season for the Raiders, but the Silver and Black getting a ton of points tonight in the Mile High City. We have to preview Thursday Night Football. That's coming up next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network. Stay right there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Responsibly.
Welcome back. Daily Tip on BetMGM Network. Good morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up on the show, Thursday Night Football. In the Mile High City, Raiders coming from Vegas to play against the Broncos with Denver laying 9. When is the last time you were in Sin City in Las Vegas? I miss the casinos. I miss the blackjack table. I miss the blackjack switch table. That's gotten more popular. It's been a long time.
Well, I think it was, for me, probably the last time we were there for, what was it, March Madness? But, Jason, you don't have to go to Vegas to play casino games. Don't you guys have a casino not that far from you guys in Maryland?
Yes, it's right here. But there's something about Vegas, you know? I know tourism is down in a big way in Vegas. They've been hit pretty hard. And I know I could go out here, and maybe I will. Maybe I'll go spend some money this afternoon, lose some money at the tables, place some bets. But there's something about being in Vegas, you know, being in a different place. You can feel the energy. You walk outside. Everything's possible until 3 days later, and you're like, oh, my God, I woke up in a gutter. I got to get home. I got to get a cab. Got to get to the airport. I miss it. It's been a long time. I've been to Vegas, what, how many times? 16 times? But I haven't been now in like 4 or 5 years.
See, I feel like I have a different viewpoint on Vegas because I live there. So, like, it wasn't just, like, a destination. I'm like, oh, there's good hiking there. They have good restaurants there. So, it's more than just gambling. But I understand it. Like, if you're on the Strip, like, that's what you're there to do. But they do have other things to do. But, like, I didn't spend, like, all of my time drunk there. If that's what, like, you know, that's what I'm saying is, like,
that's what I do.
For most of the time we lived in Vegas, I was pregnant with Blake. So, like, imagine being in Vegas have to be sober.
Yeah, like, that's true. So, no drinking, just smoking exclusively. Like, hey, I'm pregnant, I can't drink. But if you'd fire up this parliament, that'd be great.
I don't even like joking about that, though, because somebody's like, she smoked when she was pregnant. No, I didn't. No. I was very clean, and I was eating salmon all the time, and I was hiking, and I was active. But yeah, I liked living in Vegas. Like, I feel like people have this viewpoint where it's just that. They have so many other things to do. Like, Summerlin, the suburb, is really nice.
Okay.
And I knew when we were there that it was growing exponentially. I don't know if that's the case anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was a great place to live.
I've got some friends that live out there. I have one guy that lives right there in the city. I have a friend that lives in Hendersonville. And I had a friend of mine coming to town. Is it?
It's not Hendersonville.
Oh, that's Henderson. Okay, yeah. Sorry, that's where I'm like, where did I get that? Oh, yeah, it's where Chelsea lives. Mm-hmm. Lives in Henderson, Nevada. He loves it out there. So I have a couple friends out there that I could go visit. I had a friend come to visit here, and we met in Silver Spring a couple months ago, and that was nice. I don't know if I'd want to live there, but also at the same time, unlike you, I haven't explored the different aspects of the city outside of the Strip. So I would imagine if you live there, you say, okay, this is more than just the Strip. So I'm going to take advantage of all Vegas has to offer. So that's nice.
Right. I think it's different that, like, I feel like most people have that viewpoint on Nashville. It's like funny because I live in Nashville now and people want to come here and all they want to do is get drunk. But as opposed to Las Vegas, that's pretty much there is to what all there is to do here in Nashville. Like, we don't have cool mountains. We don't have cool scenery. So, like, that's all you can do is go down to Broadway and drink literally all day from 10 a.m. to 3 a.m. or whenever the bars close. Because in Vegas, like, the outdoor scene's pretty cool. But, yeah, like, in Nashville, in the depths of January, there ain't nothing else to do, and it gets dark at 4:15.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Tonight, when it's dark, guess what? You've got Thursday Night Football to watch. Not blacked out on YouTube TV, because this is on Amazon Prime. Raiders, Broncos. Broncos laying 9. Broncos are minus 475. The Raiders are plus 360. And the total is 42.5 here, Chelsea. So I will set the table for you. What is your favorite bet? Do you like a side, total, prop? Where are you going tonight?
All right, so let's talk about the side for a second, because I'm sure inquiring minds want to know. So I'm not going to be betting on a side here, but I think this is maybe trickier than the line suggests, because you say, oh, the Broncos are the much better team, the Raiders are absolutely terrible, and maybe it plays out that way, but I will say this. The Broncos have let bad teams kind of hang around him in multiple games this year. Looking at last week's game against the Texans, final score 18-15. Earlier in the year, Broncos beat the Jets 13-11. They barely beat the Giants 33-32. And then earlier in the year, you know, they've lost some close games as well. And they only beat my Titans by 8 points. So my point being is that sometimes the Broncos, that defense is great, but sometimes the offense can be hit or miss. So I would say, you know, word of caution before you lay 9 points in this Thursday night game.
I think I'm going to lay it with the Broncos. Does that sound not confident at all? I think I'm going to lay it with the Broncos. I don't know. Yeah, I like the Broncos here. Money is moving in their direction. I just don't know how the Raiders are going to score here against this Broncos offense. Like, I think I kind of like the under here. This feels like maybe a 28-13, 28-10 game. But if you look at the Raiders, they've given up 25 points in 5 of their last 6 games. And now they traded away Jacoby Myers. I know he wasn't playing, and yes, Brock is back. But Geno Smith just has not been what the Raiders expected him to be when they made a trade for him and reunited him with Pete Carroll. And that Raiders offensive line is so bad. I got a taste of that when I watched them here in Washington against the Commanders. They can't protect Geno Smith. They can't open lanes for Ashton Jeanty. And so Bowers will get his because he's a unicorn. But outside of that, Geno Smith is going to be under pressure all game long. And I just don't really see an avenue outside of the Broncos not showing up. But they're at home here. And in the one game where the Raiders didn't allow at least 25 points, guess who they were playing? The Titans. So I hate to say that, but that doesn't really count. I think the Broncos find a way to cover this number. I think the Broncos win by double digits. So I'm going to go Broncos minus 9.
I think if the hypothesis is that you don't believe in the Raiders offense, you can, you know, isolate that. And you can say, okay, their team total is 16.5. And I think you can make a really strong case for that play if you don't want to trust a Broncos offense that's been a little hit or miss this year, because you look at this Denver defense, and they are the best red zone defense in the entire NFL. And when you're talking about totals, and when it's a difference between, you know, scoring 3 on a field goal and 7 on a touchdown and PAT, you know, that's the difference. And when you see Denver, and we saw it last week for the Texans, where they could get in the red zone, but they could not score the touchdowns. So I think a team total for the Raiders under 16.5 is a very solid play as well.
Would you play it up to 17 or under 16.5 is probably fine. Under 17 is too expensive, right? It's like minus 175, I think you said.
Yeah, minus 175. That's too much.
Yeah, a little much. I don't think the Raiders get there. I just don't. This Broncos defense is so salty. Like, Nick Benito is going to be all over Geno Smith all night long. It's going to be a massacre. I'm feeling it. Although I don't, I mean, you say this, I mean, I'm saying this. It's still a divisional game. And you are right about the Broncos. Sometimes they tend to play to the level of their opponents, right? Where, yeah, they should win, but they'll just kind of hang around. Like, look at what happened against the Giants a few weeks ago, which was ridiculous, and they scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. That's not going to happen again because that's a rarity. That's a unicorn in and of itself, that sort of performance. But the Broncos do tend to do that. I think that's the one sabotage factor here.
Yeah, and plus it's 9 points. So yeah. Even if this is a blowout, like, think about sweating a garbage time touchdown at the end of this game. So I don't know. I'm not saying that I'm playing the Raiders plus 9. I am just saying, you know, that is the sabotage factor when playing the Broncos. But the play that caught my attention earlier in the week after the NFL trade deadline is, of course, the tight end that you mentioned earlier. Brock Bowers for the Raiders set to have probably another big game. Granted, not as big as his last performance, 127 yards and 3 touchdowns. Because this defense is a lot tougher of a matchup for the Raiders. But if you do look at the Broncos, especially against tight ends, they've been middle of the pack at defending tight ends, surprisingly so. And we've seen some big performances from opposing tight ends. Just last week, Dalton Schultz of the Texans had 77 yards receiving in that Giants game. We had two tight ends that had massive games. Daniel Bellinger had 88 yards receiving. Theo Johnson had 66. So you look at the number for Brock Bowers tonight, it is 64.5, juice to the over at -120. So I think that's worth a look. The receptions is 6.5 now, where it's juiced to the under. It was 5.5 yesterday, and it was like -160 or something. So I was going to go receptions, but now it's 6.5. So I think I'll go with yards here. 64.5 feels like a gettable number for Brock Bowers. The sabotage factor, though, is that Geno Smith is not expected to have a very big game in this one.
Correct.
Like, if you look at the passing yardage number for Geno Smith, it is 212.5. So you say to yourself, okay, so he's only supposed to throw it for 212 yards. You know, 65 yards is a big chunk of that. But now with Jakobi Meyers gone, I feel like you try to feed him anyway. And Brock Bowers is one of the best in the NFL at yards after the catch. So I think just based on the targets alone for Brock Bowers, because he saw 13 targets last week. Granted, that was an overtime game against the Jaguars, but still, I think they would be stupid not to feed Brock Bowers.
I still can't believe that Ashton Jeanty is having the season he's having. And I don't put it all on him because I mentioned that Raiders offensive line and how bad it is. But when you look at his production versus the numbers here, I mean, his rushing total is set at 55.5. I would probably go under here. I don't know if I want to bet this, but look at his rushing totals in the last four games. 67 against the Colts, 75 against your Titans, 21 against Kansas City, 42 against Jacksonville. And he's going to get to 55 or 56 against this Broncos defensive front, particularly when I think the Raiders, and the line is telling you this, will be playing from behind. I feel like that number is too high. Am I crazy here?
Oh, I definitely take the under. Like, for a second, I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to be taking
no
the over?
Way.
No. But it's, you know, the combination of the fact that the Raiders are a bad offense altogether. They're going to be in a losing game script, as this line suggests. And Ashton Jeanty just hasn't been very efficient. Like, if you look at his yards per carry this season, 3 points, it's under 4. So he just hasn't been very efficient. And, you know, the only games that he's come close to this or gone over it, it's been winning game scripts or the games have been close. Like, look at last game. That was an overtime game, and he still only had 42 yards against the Jaguars. Now he gets a nightmare matchup against a really good Denver Broncos defense. So I would only play the under, but I hate playing unders on player props simply because, like, one big run and you're like, ugh. But luckily, most of the season, he has not had those big explosive runs. The first game of the season, he had a 64-yard run. But other than that, longest carries of 12, 13, 8, and 13.
Makes me want to add that bet to my card. Maybe. Maybe. But I'm 2-0 this week, and I'm going to be chicken. I'm just going to have one bet on the card tonight. Maybe I'll do that. Any other props you like before we get ready to go to break here, bring in the doctor and all that good stuff?
Nah, I do not have any other props. Because here's the thing. When you have a total of, what, 43, that's not really a game that I want to go heavy on, especially if there is sabotage potential, or not sabotage, blowout potential. You know, when games get out of hand, like those kind of games kind of kill props. Like, say you have a bet on a Broncos receiver and you're like, okay, well, they're winning by 20 points. They're not going to like force feed Cortland Sutton in the pass game if they don't have to and they just want to get first downs. So I think this is going to be a lower scoring game. Like, if we're talking about totals here, 43 feels like a very low number. And maybe the Broncos offense is the sabotage factor here. But again, this Broncos goal line defense has been the best in the NFL, and especially on a short week, I feel like this is the week where teams just want to get in, get out, and get their win. Like, I don't see the Broncos keeping their foot on the gas pedal. I'm like, we need to score 50 in this game. Maybe they do, because this Raiders defense is bad, but my point being is that I think I would lean towards the under.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right call here, and a short week always tends to portend to going towards the under, primetime unders, which we know. But, you know, like I say, even if the Broncos, quote, go off, the Raiders, I don't think, are going to score enough to get us over the total here. Again, we're sitting at 43, so I'd be with you on that. I think the under is the play as well. I actually like a lot of plays in this game, oddly enough. It's not the best game. It's a divisional battle. Mile High is always a great setting for a football game, but I do kind of like a lot of numbers in this game, and so maybe we'll look at that. Coming up next, we got to look at something because our best bets are locked and ready to go. Or maybe we'll decide during the break. Donkster is here as well. All that coming up next. It is the Daily Tip on a BetMGM Network on a Thursday. Always great to have you with us. Stay right there.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Best bets coming up. Donkster as well. I got my hair cut yesterday, which she did a great job. But let me tell you something. I am a nervous wreck when I get my hair cut because I am kind of OCD, as we know. So I'm always like particular about what I'm seeing. And normally when I'm sitting there and I see someone going, shh, shh, and I can't really see what they're doing because she turned me around where I couldn't look in the mirror. And I just see like hair falling. It was like torture for me. It's like a weird, I don't know if I've gotten bad haircuts before. I don't know. It's because when I was younger and I was sick or I lost my hair, like, I don't know what the issue is, but there's some sort of issue there where I am just like, yesterday, Chelsea, I had like a bead of sweat like coming down my forehead. It's not like she was shaving my head. So I don't know where the issue comes from, and everything was fine. She does a great job. I finally found someone I like, which is hard for me to do, but I was a wreck yesterday and for no reason.
I think a lot of people are like this, though, when it comes to getting your haircut, because it is a complete loss of control where you're just sitting there like an idiot in that stupid smock and looking in the mirror. And you're just like, what are we doing today? Especially when they turn you around, you can't even see yourself. So, like, I feel you. And, like, imagine doing this, but there's a chemical reaction on your head because I get my hair bleached. So imagine the trust that you have to have with somebody so they don't bleach your hair off of your scalp. So I feel you when it comes to the nervousness, but I think everybody's like this when it comes to their hair, with the exception of people who maybe just get like the buzz cuts. So it's like, okay, they messed up. You only have an inch of hair anyway.
Oh, God. I've had that happen before. The worst haircut. I know I've told that story before when I first got to D.C. And I mean, it was just like my hair was this long. I went to hair cuttery. Never again. Oh, it was so bad. So bad. But the worst one I ever... Do they still have supercuts? Is that still around? Yeah?
I think so. Doesn't Kirk Cousins go there?
Does he?
Master Cuts?
Yeah.
Or Sport Clips?
I think Kirk is Supercuts. He's Supercuts. One of those haircut places. Oh,
I used to go to Supercuts in college. $6. That's how you get a haircut. It was $6. Right? And I'll never forget, because I've had like sideburns forever, whatever. And I, before I got my vision was really bad before I got my eyes operated on,
surgery that doesn't exist anymore back in the 90s, and I couldn't really see the mirror. And so this guy was going like, snip, 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 snip. And I'm like, yeah, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. I can't really see. And then I'll never forget. And I get back to my dorm room at Texas. I was a freshman. I was still figuring things out, where to go. And, you know, I'm a small town kid, so it was all kind of overwhelming to me. And I will never forget. It's like frozen in my mind. I get up to the mirror in my dorm room, and I look in the mirror, and this sideburn right here was just a wisp of hair. Like, I don't even know how I did it. And so I could flip it, like, it was just hanging there. I was mortified. I don't know how he made that happen. So what I had to do was, to make it even, was to, you know, get the razor, the straight razor, and go like right above the ear, like I was in the military. Ugh. And I never went back to supercuts again. It was not great.
I just feel like, you know, even if you had a buzz cut, like, you would still look not that bad. Like, ooh, think about the disaster that could happen for me. Like, imagine if there was a huge chunk of my hair taken out. Like, that would be very, very noticeable. And I think women are like, with hair, you know, that's one of your biggest, like, accessories, because obviously you see it with everything. And, like, guys, worst come to worst, you could wear hats. Like, I would run out of hats, you know, this week, because I have a lot of cool hats. I'll say that. But it's not like you can't go around town in, like, a baseball hat all the time. Like, boys do. Like, some men, I feel like I've never seen their head. Like, I have no idea what color their hair is, because they wear baseball hats that often. And I think about, like, some of the haircuts that you see on baseball players. Like, Tyler Glasnow has great hair, but, like, how do you style it when it's not in a baseball hat? Because, like, you know what he has. He has, like, the lettuce around, you know, his hat. But, like, imagine going to, like, church and you can't wear a hat. I don't know if it looks good. I feel like it looks kind of weird.
Well, you shouldn't wear a trucker hat to church. I mean, yes, you can. Maybe you shouldn't, you know? I worked for a guy when I was in Austin. I interned for how many years? I was a radio intern for a year. I was a television intern for 2 years. So 3 years of straight interning, no money, just learning as much as I could, right? Different radio stations, different TV stations, just trying to absorb as much knowledge as I could. And I remember at this one station where I was a promotions intern, I would just go out to the mall and I would sit there and we would promote the radio station. I would hand out bumper stickers and whatever it took. And so the guy that was my boss, I forget his name, but he wore a hat so much. I never saw him without his hat. And one day he finally took off his hat and he had hair, but he had worn a hat so much that his hair was like, and it wasn't because he had a hat on. Like, even when he combed his hair, it melded to, like, how it was when he wore his hat. Like, it had actually shaped his hair because he wore a hat so much.
Yeah. It's wild when you watch golf and, like, they take their hats off at the end. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan Spieth, maybe put the hat back on. Poor guy. That was mean. I'm sorry.
Poor guy. I tell you what, in a couple of years, he's going to take off that hat. With today's technology, he's got a full head of hair. He's going to look great.
Oh, you know? He's going to Turkey.
He's going to Turkey. Coming back. Like, look at me. It's the new Jordan. It's the new me. Well, it's the same old us, and we got to pick some winners. Let's do it.
Time to place your bets.
All right, Chelsea, what do we got?
All right, best bet of the night is going to be on Raiders tight end Brock Bowers to go over 64.5 receiving yards for -120. This number has already jumped to 68.5 in some shops, 67.5 in some shops. So go to BetMGM. They have the best number if you are going to be riding with this bet. So I understand the matchup does not look great on paper for Bowers going against this Broncos defense. It's very, very good. But if you look at the Broncos against tight ends, they're middle of the pack when it comes to defending that position. And we've seen other tight ends post some big numbers. Just last week, Dalton Schultz of the Texans had 77 yards receiving. For the Giants, Daniel Bellinger had 88 receiving yards. Theo Johnson, both of those tight ends had big games. Theo Johnson had 66. So I think there is a pathway where Brock Bowers can have a decent game. So I need him just to get 65 yards, and the target share should be there since they just traded away Jacoby Myers. So some of those targets have to go somewhere, and why would you not give them to the best player on your team? Brock Bowers is coming off a game where he had 12 catches for 127 yards and 3 touchdowns. Granted, I don't think he has that big of a game in this one against the Broncos, but it would be stupid for the Raiders not to pepper him with targets. So I think the opportunity is going to be there. Let's go Brock Bowers over 64.5 receiving yards for minus 120.
All right. Let's go. Here's where I'm going tonight. I'm going to roll up my sleeves for this one. Let's make it 3-0 this week. Geno Smith, INT, plus Broncos money line is only minus 109. Now, if you want to play Geno Smith interception, that is minus 175, too cost prohibitive here. I do think the Broncos are going to cover this number. They're definitely going to win this game. If they don't, I'm going to be stunned. It's in the Mile High City. The Raiders are terrible. Good spot for the Broncos to at least win outright. As for Geno Smith, he's the real key here. But he leads the league in interceptions, has thrown a pick in 7 of his last 9 games, and he is going to be under pressure all game long because I expect the Raiders offensive line to have a hard time protecting him, which has been an issue all season long. Nick Benito and that Broncos defensive front should be able to make him force throws down the field because I think the Raiders will be playing from behind. The Broncos have one of the best secondaries, one of the best defenses in the NFL. It just all sets up for Geno to throw a pick late when he's trying to keep the Raiders in the game and the Broncos win. Put it together. It is minus 109 at BetMGM.
Ah, only one play?
That's
it. Liked all these plays in Thursday Night Football.
I talk we a big game. One.
You don't want to bet on the one game in the NBA tonight?
Under. Go under. Suns, who are they playing? Clippers? Harden's out.
The Clippers.
Yeah, Suns and Clippers.
Speaking of haircuts, the Oof. Clippers.
Hey! Didn't should have said that. You popped in, bam.
Oh,
finger guns.
Oh, my gosh.
That would have been great. Yeah, go under tonight. That would be my lean in the NBA. Suns, Clippers, Kawhi's out. Harden's out, of course. Like I keep saying, the Clippers are old this season. There's going to be a lot of load management. I would lean to the under, but not going to play it officially. Okay, let's find out who the Donkster is on before we wrap things up and pass it off to Bet Swats. Good morning, Donkster.
Good morning. I've been playing solitaire all week, and the responses on X are crazy. Chelsea Messenger. You know I love you like family, but no one beats me. D-Day. Solitaire. That's easy money for this guy. And Double D. I would play solitaire, but I'm too busy following Kathy Bates.
Oh. Well, nothing wrong with that. Big Kathy Bates show. All right, Donkster. We got to get out of here soon. Let's hear your bet.
Raiders at the Broncos. Let's go under 43.
Okay. Well, you know, he's been one-on-one this week. Yeah, it's not a bad bet. I don't mind it. What's on the docket for you today, Chelsea? I took a, not melatonin, a magnesium pill to help me. Is it magnesium, I think? Yeah, to help me sleep last night. God. I mean, I've just been like chugging coffee has not worked. I slept great. But just too much.
I feel like that's the tough part about our schedule is that, like, if you take a melatonin and stuff, it's meant for, like, a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
Not, like, for me if you get, like, 5 hours a night. So you're still in that deep REM sleep.
My God.
Or REM sleep.
REM.
They call it REM or REM?
It's REM.
Like the band.
REM, the band. Yeah. I was like, hey, I'll wake up to some REM. Like, I never sleep to my alarm. I always wake up before my alarm. Usually around 3:45, maybe 4-ish, I'll get up. But my alarm is set at 4:20 at the very latest. And man, I slept to my alarm this morning. I never do that. Woo! Mm. Well, it's over now. What a show. Look at us. That is it. Look at us. For this edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Bet Sweats is coming up next. We always appreciate your time. Good luck in your bets. Have a great Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow, melatonin or no, at 6 a.m. We'll see you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.